This morning we would like you to look with us at 2 Kings chapter 14. Our text is verse 10, though we will be looking at most of the chapter. 2 Kings 14:10. When Amaziah was 25 years old, his father, who was the king of Judah, was assassinated. And by reason of that assassination, Amaziah was made the king of Judah. As soon as he had established the kingdom, felt secure, he then had the men executed who had assassinated his father. And then he gathered together the army of Judah, and they went down to the area of the Dead Sea, and there they fought against the Edomites and defeated them. And they took the rock city of Petra. And so he was well established now in the kingdom. He had just experienced a tremendous victory defeating the Edomites. And flushed with this victory, he sent a message to Jehoash, the king of Israel, challenging him to come out for a fight. He said, "Come on and let's look at each other face to face. Get your armies and let's face off." The king of Israel, Jehoash, said, "Look, you went down to Edom. You had a great victory over the Edomites. Now, why don't you just sit at home and rejoice in the victory that you have? For why should you meddle to your own hurt?" But Amaziah wouldn't listen to him. He insisted on a fight. And so Jehoash gathered together the armies of Israel, and they met the armies of Judah at Beth Shemesh. And there, the armies of Judah were defeated, and the men fled in defeat. And Jehoash came to Jerusalem with his troops. They broke down a portion of the walls of Jerusalem, and then they took the gold and the silver and the treasure of the king and many hostages, and they returned unto Samaria. And so Amaziah, a king who could not be satisfied in the victory that he had, but had to meddle in areas where he had no business being, meddling to his own hurt, was soundly defeated by the king of Israel. One of the most dangerous places in our own walk and experience in life usually follows the great victories of life. Once we have just accomplished a great victory, there is a danger of self-confidence. There's the danger of feeling, "Well, I know how it's done now. I finally discovered the keys of victory." And I start looking for trouble. I start looking for more people to conquer or more territory to conquer. I cringe when I see so many of these young Christians who have just experienced the glorious victory of Christ in their life, and they go out and start looking for the devil, just looking for a fight, you know, just sort of challenging Satan and saying, "All right, now come at me, you know, and see what you can do now." And I cringe, because there is a danger of self-confidence. And that danger usually arises right after victory. A mistake that many football teams make is that of overconfidence. So you'll notice during the football season, some of the best teams in the country are upset by weaker teams, much weaker teams. But because they've had a string of victories, they think, oh, well, no, this team next week, that's so simple. We don't even need to, you know, train or get in condition for this. We want to really train for the following week when we're going to meet Oklahoma State, you know. And overlooking and thinking, well, I don't need any help for this one, you know. We've got this one made. And that kind of overconfidence is a very dangerous thing for a football team, because that's just when you're ripe for an upset. So in our own lives, when we think, well, Lord, I don't need any help for this battle. Or I go around and I think, I've got it made. I know all of the keys. I know how to win now. Lord, I don't need your help. Therein is a very dangerous position. Flushed with victory, I often go into an area of great defeat. Here was Amaziah, had just experienced a great victory over the Edomites, and now he's looking around, challenging a fight with the king of Israel, and being soundly defeated. Jehoash said to him, look, you're a young man. You've had a great victory. Why not just enjoy it? Why should you meddle to your own hurt? Why is it that we don't seem to learn the danger of meddling? Many times, we as Christians are prone to meddle around with things that we have no business meddling with. Meddling around in places we have no business being. And meddling always seems to lead to hurt and to defeat in our walk. No man who is an alcoholic ever intended to be an alcoholic. No man just decided, well, I'm going to be a worthless drunk. I'm going to just be an alcoholic, and started drinking to become an alcoholic. You don't do that. But you start meddling. And it is an interesting thing that you always have the concept, well, I can handle this. I know how to handle it. I know what my limits are. And I can handle it. And you talk to a person who is in the first, second stages of alcoholism. And they will assure you that they can handle it. They can quit anytime they want. Don't worry. They've got control of the situation. But they are deceived. They don't have control. No heroin addict ever intended being a heroin addict when he first shot up. But meddling around, deciding to see what it would feel like, messing and meddling around with the thing. They found that soon they were trapped by it and defeated by it. These things in which we meddle have a way of growing and developing far beyond our original intent. Innocent little flirtations have ways of exploding into full-blown affairs. We start meddling around in areas where we have no business to meddle, and it always seems to end up to our own hurt. Because I'm defeated so often as the result of just meddling around. And I look around and I see all of the broken, defeated lives. And I realize that they're a result of meddling. Amaziah was not content to just enjoy the victory that he had experienced over the Edomites. He had to meddle. He had to pick a fight. And the tragic result was his defeat at the hand of Jehoash. But it was more than just the defeat. Jehoash came then to Jerusalem, tore down a portion of the walls, and took the treasure, gold and silver, and the treasure of the king and hostages, and carried them back to Israel. The consequences of meddling are far-reaching. Because it doesn't just bring you into spiritual defeat. But there is also that aspect of once having done something, a part of your defenses are destroyed so that you find it easier to do the next time. The first time you had very strong resistance. The first time you were really standing against it. There was a real battle. But maybe you were at a party. And maybe the coke had been introduced at the party or something, and everybody was snorting, and they said, oh, come on, you know, it won't hurt you just once. Try it once, kind of a thing. And you started meddling in something that you had no business meddling in. It was hard. You really didn't want to do it. It took a lot of persuasion. You had a lot of resistance. But then finally you sort of broke down and said, oh, well, I'll try it once. And what happened? A part of your defenses were taken away. Even as they broke down a part of the walls were the real defense of the city. They tore down a part of the walls. Part of your defenses were torn down so that the next time you didn't have as much resistance. The next time you weren't able to stand so strong. The next time it was a little easier to do it. And a little more of your defense was gone. And the next time it became easier and easier and easier until finally you found yourself in a trap. You found that you could not stop doing it even though you wanted to because your defenses are totally gone. The danger of meddling around to your own hurt. The hurt is the destruction of your own defenses. One of the insidious things about drugs is that the very first thing that a drug attacks is your will center, the will to resist. And drugs attack that will center of a person's life so that having destroyed your will to resist, you become then its helpless victim. You have no more will against it. All of the defenses have been taken away and destroyed, so you become then the prey, the easy prey. The first time you did it, there was a strong pang of conscience. There was the remorse, there was the repentance. There was the promise, I'll never do that again. but a part of your defenses were destroyed, and you find yourself doing it again and again and again. I've heard so many testimonies of young people who became involved in drug use, who started out by saying, I would never, never be so foolish as to take drugs. Oh, that's foolish. I would never do that. But meddling around under peer pressure, they took their first pill. Or they took their first drug. And in so doing, meddling around, a part of the defenses were destroyed. Then they say, well, I would never become addicted. And the next thing you know, they're addicted. Oh, but I would never deal in the stuff. And then they're dealing in the stuff. And it seems to be those things that you think I would never do, I could never do. All of a sudden, you look around at yourself, and here I am in the midst of it. I'm doing the things I swore I would never do. It all started out so innocently, just meddling around. But you cannot meddle around with sin in any form without getting hurt and without hurting others around you. You cannot play with fire and not get burned. But not only were a portion of their defenses destroyed, but their treasure was taken away. He took away the gold and the silver and the treasure of the king and carried it unto Samaria. And the result of meddling around in sin is the loss of valuable treasure. What a beautiful treasure virginity is. What a beautiful treasure is innocence, purity. These treasures can be taken away because you were foolish enough to meddle around in areas where you had no business meddling. What a valuable thing a strong, healthy body is. What price can you put upon a mind that is clear, sharp? And yet I've seen so many minds destroyed as a result of meddling. Bodies that have become physical wrecks, meddling. Why should you meddle to your own hurt? You say, well, I know what you're talking about, Chuck. It was so foolish. I didn't really intend it to be this way. But yeah, I was meddling around, and I've been burned, and I've lost my defenses. I'm in the pit. and I don't know the way out. I've lost some of those valuable treasures. I can no longer say I'm innocent. I'm pure. And I am sorry. Is there any hope? Yeah. There's great hope. That's why I'm here. If there was no hope, I wouldn't be here. There would be no reason for my being here. But that's what the Christian gospel is all about. God said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they may be as white as wool." And God is calling you to Himself today. And as He said to the nation Israel, after they had meddled and after they had been defeated, He said, "I will restore unto you the years that the caterpillar and the cankerworm have eaten." And you may be looking back at some weeks or months of years of your life that are sort of wasted years. And God can even restore those wasted years. And again, put His anointing, His power upon your life. He can build up the defenses once more, the walls that have been broken down. And you can once again experience the strength and the power of the Lord giving you victory in your life. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you today. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for the glorious gospel that we have to share. The power of Jesus Christ to set men free. And to counteract all of the detrimental effects of our folly in meddling. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray this morning for each one who, in looking at themselves and their lives, find themselves in that position of weakness without any defenses, trapped in their situation, who is longing for a way out. May they, Lord, this morning discover the glorious way out through Jesus Christ, who is the way. In His name we ask it. Amen.